Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find, second line from the top of Daf Lamed. The Mishnah, Hashoifech Mayim Birshus Rabim, someone spilled out water into a thoroughfare, a public thoroughfare, V'huzak Bohen Acher, and someone else was damaged thereby, Chayav Benizko, the one who poured the water out is obligated to compensate for damage. Hamatznia es hakoitz vesaschuchis, one who hides away thorns or glass. Vahagoder es gidro bekoitzim, and one who creates a fence, who builds a fence out of thorns. Vegeder shenofal lushus rabim, and a fence that fell into a public thoroughfare. Vahuzak bohen achirim, and others were damaged thereby. Chayov benizkon, he must compensate for the damage. Omar Rav, Lo Shonu, Rav points out that the obligation to compensate for the damage caused by the water, Elo denit nifu kelov b'mayim, that his vessels, or specifically his garments, became soiled in the water. Avulhu atzmo poter, the person himself who got hurt, who experienced damage as a result of the water, so the owner of the water is exempt. Why? How did the person get hurt as a result of the water? So he slipped on the water and experienced impact on the ground. Karka oilam hizikoso, it's the ground itself that caused the damage. Karka oilam, literally the floor, the ground of the world. It's something that's unowned. There's no one to obligate. That is hizikosu, caused the damage. Hence, there is no one to collect from. Question. Omer le Rav Huna le Rav. Lo yehe elo kirifsho. Why do you say there's exemption? Should the water that fell on the ground, that got mixed up in the dirt, became muddy, why should it be no different than someone's refesh? Rashi explains on the top, Lo yehe elo kirifsho, hamashlich zivlo b'shus rabim, someone who throws his garbage into the public thoroughfare. Mi lo michayev ki lo hifkiro, is it not so that the one who threw the garbage into the public thoroughfare, assuming that he did not renounce ownership of it, become guilty for damage that happens as a result? Hachinami rifsho hu diazke. In this case, too, the water that was thrown into the public area where there's dirt, it's the mud, his refesh, his garbage, his dirt, his mud that caused the damage. And it's arvu amayim v'ha'ofor v'nasa tit. The mayim, the water, and the offer and the dirt got nisarvu, means mixed together, and became tit, became like mud. V'shelo hu, it's his, it's owned. Midamuki lo batinuf kalim. From the fact that Rav said that there is guilt for the soiling of the clothing, that is an indicator that we're dealing with a situation where he did not declare, he didn't renounce ownership. The Habor Lochai of Bokalim, standard pits, which are, let's say, causes of stumbling and falling, would not be culpable for clothing or for article damage. That's a result of a scriptural ruling, a gzeiras hakosuf, that a bor, that which causes stumbling, is not culpable for. And yet Rav was saying there is culpability for the soiling of the clothing. So it must be that we're not dealing with that which is classified as a bor, that which would be, let's say, something that's unowned as a pit in a public thoroughfare, but rather we're dealing with one's mumon, one's owned item that caused the damage. So the question then is, why is there an exemption for the damage to the person when, in effect, it's mamon hamazik? And mamon hamazik is no different than someone's animal that damaged a person. The Gemara answers, Mi savris delo tamu maya. Who says that we're speaking here, the case that Rav is addressing, namely the Mishnah, with Rav's interpretation, is dealing with a case where the water is still present. Lo tamu literally means it did not finish off. Tamu, tam is to be complete, to be finished off. In other words, the water would have been totally absorbed into the ground, no trace of the water left. Who says we're talking by case the lo tamu maya, that the water is not finished? But the tamu maya, the water is no longer present, and therefore we don't have any refesh to speak of. According to Tosfos, we're speaking about a situation where the water is mostly absorbed into the ground, so that we don't have a situation of mud, which is what the owner was really interested in. However, on the other hand, we don't have a situation where the ground is totally dry and hence useless to the individual, because otherwise it would then be something unowned, and hence there would be no obligation for the soiling of the clothing. So we have a situation once again, as the Gemara says, "Bidetamu maya." So we don't have a real mud situation, which is what the person who threw the water was trying to achieve. So it's no longer really muddy. Therefore, as Rav says, the damage to the person was the impact on the ground, and therefore, for person damage, there is no culpability. For the soiling of the clothing, however, there is culpability, as this is a case of mamon hamazik. The water, the water itself is that which soiled and caused the soiling of the clothing as a result of the dampness that is currently present on the ground. Now, this idea of obligation to compensate for damage as a result of the soiling of the clothing is something we have learned already in the past. Hence, the Gemara asks, "Vitarti lomali." What do I need two Mishnayos to tell us about the soiling of the clothing? We had a Mishnah already earlier where it spoke about nishbaro kado birushus rabim, where someone's jug broke in a public thoroughfare and someone slipped on the water, and Rav there already explained that he didn't renounce ownership of the water, and the culpability described in the Mishnah there was for the soiling of the clothing. So we have two Mishnayos to tell us essentially the same thing as far as Rav is concerned. The Gemara answers, I need the two Mishnayos. Chado b'yemois hachamo v'chado b'yemois hagshomim. One is talking about an incident that takes place in the summer season, and the other is talking about a damage that takes place in the rainy winter season. Rashi points out, let's read the Rashi together. Rashi, we're looking at just a little bit up from here. One of the Mishnayos is talking about the rainy season. Even though the person had legal permission to throw, to cast the water out into the public, because it's muddy anyway, it's the rainy season, im hiziku chayav l'shalim. Nevertheless, if damage happens, you have to compensate. We continue now in the Gemara, where you have a brisa that points this out. Disanya, kol elu shamru, all those examples where we said, poiskin b'boisan, v'gorfin morosan, people are allowed to clear out their sewage and clean out their ma'oros. Ma'oros literally are caves, but it's for our purposes, it's they're casting out from their own domain into the public domain refuse. And b'moisa chama ein lehem reshus. If you're talking about the summer season, so they don't have people do not have permission to do that, to cast out their refuse into the public thoroughfare. In the winter rainy season, they are allowed to do thusly. Even though they have legal permission to do thusly, if they were the cause of damage, so the owners have to compensate. Hamatznia es hakoitz, vagoder es gidro bekoitzim. We spoke about the mission in the Mishnah about someone creating a fence made of thorns. And if damage resulted, so the owner has to compensate. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shonu elo mafriach. This culpability is only if the ends of the thorns, the tips of the thorns, were jutting out into the public domain. Avol mitzamtzem poter. If, however, a person built a fence of thorns and set it in on his property, where the we'll say the tips of the thorns were not jutting out into the official public domain, public thoroughfare. Once again, mitzamtzem is he set in the fence further in on his property. So damage that results in such a case, the owner is exempt. My time a potter. Why is he exempt? After all, the public, realizing that the fence is set in further on his property, people are going to walk up till the fence. So why is the owner property in such a case? Omar Rav Acho Breid Rav Iko, Lefishein Darkon Shel Bnei Adam Lischachich Bixolim. It's not the way of people to rub into walls. So when he set the fence into his own property, people that would get damaged under circumstances like that were behaving in an unusual fashion. But one does, however, see that even so, one does not have the right to initially set up a fence where the tips are actually jutting out into the public. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a topic heading, a nosei, which reads as follows. Baal Koisel, the owner of a wall, Shehoras HaKoisel, that knocked down the wall, Shebesechi Tznia Achir Koitzeitzov Uzuchiyosov, a wall in which someone else had hidden his thorns and his glass, V'nisok Achir Bohem, and someone else got hurt as a result of those thorns and glass that now are in the public domain as a result of the owner of the wall knocking the wall down. The Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Hamatznia Kitzoysov, Uzuchuchiyosov, one who hides kitz in the plural kotzosov, his thorns, Zechuchis in the singular is glass, so Zechuchiyosov, glass in the plural, hid it away in Latoch Kaisel Shechavera, in someone else's wall. Ubal Baal Kaisel Vesosar Kaisloi, and the owner of the wall knocked down his wall, Venofel Shusarabim, and that it fell into the public domain, Veziko Chayav Hamatznia, and the thorns and glass caused damage. The one that hid it away in the wall is obligated to compensate for the damage. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu, Ela Bekaisel Rua. The halacha of this source, that the owner of the glass and the and thorns is obligated, the matznia, the one who hid it away, is obligated, is only if the wall was a shaky wall. In other words, he put his glass and thorns into a shaky wall. It should have occurred to him that this wall is going to be knocked down at some point in time. Therefore, he should have informed the owner of the wall that I'm hiding away glass and thorns in your wall. And he didn't do so. Therefore, he is considered having acted irresponsibly. Avol, bekoisel bori. However, if someone put into a wall glass and thorns in a solid structure, and one day the wall is knocked down and people get hurt on the glass or thorns, amatznia poter, v'chayav baal hakoisel. The one who hid them away is not culpable. Rather, the owner of the wall is the one, because when he knocked down his wall, he should have, noticing the thorns and glass, he should have hid them away. Omar Ravina, Zois Omeris, from this point from Rav Yochanan's ruling, we learn Hamechase Boiroi Bedolio Shel Chavero. Someone had a pit, and a pit in an area where people walk, and he covered the pit, but he used the pit cover of someone else. Dolio, Rashi says, Kisui Bor Shel Chavero, someone else's pit cover. Ubal Bal Dali Venot Al Dolio, and the owner of that cover, literally a Dali is a pail. It's quite likely that a pail was used to cover pits, so that the owner of the pail came and took his pail, which serves as a pit cover, Chayov Bal Habor. The owner of the pit into which someone got hurt, he has to offer compensation. He has to make compensation. Why is that? Because it should have occurred to the owner of the pit that that the owner of the cover is going to come take his cover one day. So what we're deriving from Rabbi Yochanan's point, namely, in the case of the shaky wall, the owner of the thorns should have informed the owner of the wall that I'm doing this and this to, so as to serve notice that if anything happens, he will take measures to protect the public. And in not doing so you are acting irresponsibly by not informing, and therefore you, the owner of the glass or thorns, we said before, is obligated to compensate. Likewise, over here, you, the owner of the cover, you, the owner of the pit, should have informed the owner of the cover that you're taking his cover, and if you didn't inform him of that, your subsequent bore exposure is a function of your irresponsibility. So the Gemara says, Pshita, is this what Ravina is telling us? Is it not self-evident? Is it not obvious? So the Gemara answers, Mahu detema, hosam hu delo have yoda le delo de. You might have thought that there, in the case of the thorns, The owner of the wall did not know who the owner of the thorns was, so that the owner of the thorns was exclusively acting irresponsibly, where the owner of the wall didn't know who the owner of the thorns was, that he should even be able to inform the owner of the thorns that he plans to knock down the wall. Avol hocha, in the case of the pit, the yoda le, the owner of the cover, knew the owner of the pit. Have le leodoe, the owner of the cover, the owner of the cover in the case of the pit knew the owner of the cover knew the owner of the pit. And therefore, if the owner of the cover did not inform the owner of the pit that I am coming and I am now taking my pit cover away, the owner of the pit cover should bear responsibility. Kamash Malon, what Ravina is telling us is that's not so. But rather, the owner of the pit, by taking someone else's pit cover and using it for himself, he will bear responsibility in the event that the owner of the pit cover takes back his dli. Tonu Rabbanan, Chasidim Horishonim Hoyomatsniim Kotzeisam Uzuchiyosam B'seich Sudesam Umamikim Lahem Gimel Tfachim. The original very pious individuals used to hide away their thorns and their glass within their own fields and dug a depth of 3 Tfachim. Why such a depth? Kedesh Liakev Hamachresha. Plow blades reach a depth when into the dirt of up till 3 tefachim. so that when the plow goes over the area that you dug out to hide your thorns and glass, the plow will not bring these dangerous items up to the surface. Rav Sheshes Shodi Lehu Benura. Rav Sheshes threw his thorns into the fire, so as to prevent them from causing damage to anybody. Rava Shodi Lehu Bediglas. Rava cast them into the Diglas, which is the name of a river in Bovel. Omar of Yehuda, Haiman Deboy Lemeheve Chasida, one who wants to pursue a life of piety, Lekayamili Dinezikin, should fulfill the teachings of this order of the Shas, which we refer to as Nezikin, the fourth order of the six orders of the Shas, which contains all the teachings of how to conduct oneself regarding all areas of, we'll say, monetary law. Rav Amar Mili De Avos. Rava says, follow the words of the teachings of Pirkei Avos, the ethics of our fathers, which contains many, many teachings, five, six chapters of proper conduct. And by fulfilling the teachings of Avos, of the ethics of our fathers, one will achieve piety. The Amri Law, and some say, Mili de Brochos, the teachings that one finds in Maseches Brochos, in the Tractate of Brochos. The Marsha points out that these three examples, Nezikin, Avos, and Brochos, are actually three areas of life. The three areas of life being fellow man and his relationship, one's relationship with one another, man to fellow man. That's illustrated by Nezikin, the laws contained within this fourth order of the Talmud, which deals with monetary matters and dealing with neighbors, etc. That's man to fellow man. Proper conduct therein. Avos deals with, we'll say, primarily deals with personal development, personal piety. And Mili de Brachos is the realm in which man deals with the Almighty, between man and God. So you have here what we call in Hebrew Bein Odom Lechavero, that's Nezikin. Avos is Odom Atzmo, person himself. And Mili de Brachos, Bein Odom Lamokom, between man and God. The Mishnah begins, but before we pursue the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our topic heading, the Nosei. Ma dinoi shel adam sheyesh lo rishus lehotzi dvorim zevel, etc. The rishus harabim v'ziku. What is the law that applies to a person that has the legal right to cast out into the public his refuse and it causes damage? We may have mentioned in the past, but certainly we didn't emphasize it, this whole realm of throwing things into the public. The hope of the individual was that it would be trampled. And the trampling underfoot of one's refuse converts it into a substance that's useful for fertilizing one's fields. It's known even nowadays that garbage, certainly the refuse from organic materials, when left for a while or ground up, turns into a desirable substance for fertilizing one's fields. So the Mishnah says, "Hamotzi es tivno v'kashel ushus rabim lizvolim." One who threw out his hay and straw into a public domain lizvolim for the purpose of it converting into fertilizer. V'huzak ben achir, and someone got hurt on it. Chayav benizko, he is obligated to compensate. V'chol ha'kedim bohen zocha, and anyone who takes it for himself has a right to keep it. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, oimer kol ha'mekaklim b'shuz rabim v'hezikoy chayovin l'shalem. all forms of damage in a public thoroughfare, any substance that causes damage in a public thoroughfare, the owner of that substance has to compensate for any damage that results. And he who takes possession of it will thereby gain ownership of it. The statement we just heard in the name of Shumalil seems very similar to the Tanakama. We take a look at Rashi. Kol hamakalkalin b'shus harabim. This was the opening of Rav Shimon Gamliel's statement. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shamil Tanakama, Rav Shimon Gamliel heard the Tanakama, the Lokunis Elo Shvacha. The Tanakama said, you are allowed to take it, you are a member of the public, allowed to take what this guy threw out into the public domain. Tanakama said thusly, only once it turned into garbage, or once it only turned into, we'll say, fertilizer. Avogufa lo, kinikotoni bebraisa bagamora. But the substance in its initial form, before it converted into fertilizer, one is not entitled to take it. V'osub shumon lio lememar, deguf nami kol akirin boizocha. Rav Shimon Gamliel comes with a further ruling where the passers-by can take even the substance before it was converted into fertilizer. Let's turn back to the Mishnah. Ha'hefech es ha'golo b'shus ha'rabim, one who flipped over some garbage in a public domain, v'huzak bohen acher, and someone experienced damage on that, chayav b'nizko. So compensation must be made. Lemo masnisin de lo k'Rebbe Yehuda. Shall we say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Yehuda? You'll notice we have a marking, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh, under our structural note, we indicate Mekoros shebohen mofia Rebbe Yehuda. We'll be seeing sources in which Rebbe Yehuda appears, umash mehem de mishnosen de lo kamoso. And it sounds like our Mishnah does not align with, it doesn't parallel the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. So our Gemara opens with its question, Lemo masnisin de lo k'Rebbe Yehuda. Shall we say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Yehuda? Desanyo, Rebbe Yehuda oimer. Rebbe Yehuda holds, he says, b'shas yitzas volim, during the time that people are allowed to throw their refuse into the public, odem moitzi zivlo shusarabim, a person takes out his refuse into the public domain. We mentioned before all kinds of vegetable peels, other organic substances, v'tzovro kol shloshim yom, and piles it up for 30 days, k'deshe nishoif beragle odom uberagle behemo, in order for them to become crushed underfoot by people and animals that are passing by. Sha'almanas kein hinchil Yeshua es haaretz. It was with this understanding that the Jews took over the land of Israel all the way back to the time of Joshua. Now, it sounds from here that since you have permission to do thusly, any damage that results therefrom would not impose culpability upon the owner. So it sounds from here that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara responds, Afilu Tema Rebbe Yehuda. You can say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Moide Rebbe Yehuda, Shem Hizik Mishalei. Mash Hizik Rebbe Yehuda concedes that if damage does in fact happen, you have to pay for the damage. So that on the one hand, you might have permission to put it out in the public, but you don't have permission, you don't have any exemption if damage results. But have we not learned Rebbe Yehuda Oimer B'ner Chanukah Potter V'tnei Shehu B'Rishus? Rebbe Yehuda has said elsewhere that if a person put his Chanukah candles outside the entrance to his store or outside the entrance to his home, and the Chanukah candle ignited a fire which subsequently caused damage, the owner of those Hanukkah candles is exempt because he put it out there birishus. Birishus means with permission. My love, mishum rishus beisdin. Is it not so that the exemption is because his placing of the Hanukkah candle there was with the approval of the courts? And Rabbi Yehuda exempts. Well, that's not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah gives you a situation where your behavior was with the approval of the courts, but subsequent damage results in your culpability. Lo, that's not the explanation of the Hanukkah story. The exemption there is Mishum Rishus Mitzvah. You put out the candles because that's what the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is. Put it out, light it at the entranceway to your location for the purpose of Persume Nisa, manifesting the miracle of Hanukkah. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bener Hanukkah Potter, Meshu, Rishus Mitzvah. Here we have dashed underlined the main point, Rishus Mitzvah, where Rabbi Yehuda's exemption is not based on Rishus Beisdin. The exemption is based on Rishus Mitzvah. However, when it comes to Rishus Beisdin, Rabbi Yehuda himself might very well say you are obligated to compensate, so that our Mishnah could be aligned with Rabbi Yehuda. Ta Shema. Here we produce another source. Kol Elu Sha'amru Mutarin L'Kalkil B'Shus Rabim Im Iziku Chayovin L'Shalem for Rabbi Yehuda Poter. This Tanaic source says very clearly all those cases that we say you're allowed to create a level of ruination of the public domain. If damage happens, according to the Tanakhama, restitution must be made. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is exemption. So, that sounds very much like our initial claim that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah spoke about garbage in the public thoroughfare causing damage, and there is an obligation for restitution. Omar Rav Nachman, Masnisin Shelo B'Shas Hitzuas Zvolim V'Rabbi Yehuda Hi. Our Mishnah that says there's culpability is talking about that season in which you don't have permission to put it out in the public. So that now we see a new understanding of things. Up till now, we thought that Rabbi Yehuda was providing a blanket exemption for damage. Hence, we're calling this number two, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say there's a blanket exemption for damage. He says that if it's done at a time where you're not allowed to put it out, so you have to compensate for damage. If, however, you put the garbage out at a time that you're allowed to do thusly, so then Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, says there is exemption. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi explains that the chiyuv of the Mishnah that says there's obligation, he says, we'll continue at the top of Omid Beis, Tivnoi V'Kashoi Tanan. The Mishnah is speaking very specifically about damage on one's hay and straw. Mishum the Mishriki. They cause slippage. In a case like that, then Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that you are obligated, and that's when the Mishnah says you're obligated to compensate. Rabbi Yehuda, who spoke about an exemption, he spoke about an exemption when one slipped on that which already became fertilizer, became useful. Rashi at the top line on Omid Bey says, Tivnoi v'kashav tanan d'mechayev, the Mishnah that says you have to compensate for damage, Dadayin lo nasu zevel, v'koshim heim, it's still straw or hay, they are still hardened, umachlikin bohen, people slip on those things. The Chikomar Rabbi Yehuda who spoke about exemption, Bezevel Komar. That's talking about other forms of refuse. The Moitziram Zivlo Sheinu Noach Lahachli Kolkach. One doesn't slip on that so easily. In a case like that, then a person is in fact exempt from compensating for, we'll say, the damage that results of something unusual. The Gemara continues. Kol HaKudin Bohem Zocha. The Mishnah spoke about any passerby who picks up that which someone had thrown out into the public, he has merited becoming the owner of it. Takes it away, he takes whatever had been thrown out into the street, takes it for himself. That, the Mishnah says that's okay. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Noseh topic heading. Hadikatoni b'masnisin kolakidim b'hem zocha. That which the Mishnah teaches, anyone who hastens to pick up that which was thrown out can keep it. Machloikis Rav uZeiri. We'll see a disagreement between Rav and Zeiri. Im ze kolel gam es gufon. Does this include the item in its original form, orak shvachan, or only after it became zevel, only after it became fertilizer quality? The Rav, according to Rav, konsu gufon mishum shvachan. Rav says that we impose a fine, means a loss on the owner, even before it turned into zevel, in anticipation of the case of its zevel state. And according to Laziri, lo konsu gufon mishum shvachan. Laziri says no. The right that you have, that the Mishnah says about to take it, that's only after it became fertilizer quality. It improved. It became, that's the term shevach, means literally improvement. It reached its useful fertilizer state. The Gemara. The Mishnah's permission to take it is whether it's in its original state or it's bishvachan. It has decomposed into, or now converted into fertilizer. Uziri Omar bishvachan. The right that the Mishnah says that you have to take it is only if it reached its final state. Avolo begufo, not in its original state. Bemai komifligi. What's the basis of their disagreement? Rav Savar konsu gufon mishum shvachan. Rav says we impose a loss to the original owner, even in its original state, in anticipation of its eventual conversion into fertilizer. Uziri Savar lo konsu gufon mishum shvachan. And Ziri says no, we don't impose a knas on the owner in its original state, simply in anticipation of its final state. By way of initial observation, it seems to me that it's most easy to understand this whole approach in accordance with what we saw in the name of Rav Nachman, that our Mishnah was talking about a time when you don't have a right to throw things into the public. It's not the season when it's allowed. However, we're not suggesting that that's the only approach to understanding this Gemara, but the language of Konsu that Rav uses, Konsu Gufan Mishum Shvachan, would seem to be most easily understood, we'll say, through the approach taken by Rav Nachman, that we're dealing with a time of year that one doesn't have the right to put this material out in the first place. Now we continue with the Gemara. We have a new marking, a triangle. Then on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh structural note, we refer to this as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take. And the triangle point facing up, kushios al Rav, represents questions on Rav. The inverted triangle are tshuva's responses. Tanan, we quote from the Sefer from the end of our Mishnah. It says, "Ha'hoifech es agolo b'rishus Rabim, v'huzak bohen acher chayav benizko." One who flips over garbage in a public domain and someone else gets hurt on it, so the owner of that golo has to compensate. V'ilu kol akidem zocha lo katoni. Regarding this, there's no reference to the right that someone has to take it. We take a look at the Rashi. Four lines from the top. V'ilu kol akidem zocha lo katoni. Mishum de golo zehu rei. V'eino mashbiak mishus rabim de mushbach v'yomei. The golo, the garbage referred to here, is our animal feces. And that does not improve in the public domain. It's already fertilizer quality. This is an example of where you have an initial substance without eventual improvement. And regarding something like that we can call goof, without eventual shevach, It's just goof. It's just original substance. You don't have a right to take it. Hence, we present this, as Rashi says, v'koshe l'rav. This is a difficulty for Rav. The Gemara responds, and we're indicating this is a number one. It's the first response. Until we get to number two, which you can see about 8-9 lines later, the Gemara tries to uphold this approach. So the Tana, the Gemara says, Tana l'resha, we saw the expression kol ha'kedem b'en zochben in the beginning of the Mishnah, in the earlier part of the Mishnah, but what in the Seifa, that permission extends to the end of the Mishnah as well. Question, v'ha tani alah, but we have a b'raisa regarding the case of the Golol, which says, Asurin Mishum Gezel. One is not allowed to take it. It's Asur, it's prohibited, and it would be an act of theft. That sounds not like Rav. The Gemara responds, Ki Kotoni Asur Mishum Gezel. This expression of Asur Mishum Gezel, Akula Masnisin Koi, La'oiso Shikodam Vezocha. This prohibition of theft is really referring to the entire Mishnah, including the Tevin and Kash, the hay and straw in the beginning of the Mishnah, and it's a reference to the one who already claimed ownership of it for someone else to come along and take away from the one who picked it up. He would be guilty of theft, meaning the one that picked up whatever material is mentioned in the Mishnah, the Tevin, the Kash, the Golol. He has a right to keep it. So therefore, someone else who comes along and takes it from him, he would be guilty of theft. So with this answer, that's given in defense of our number one approach, the expression of Asur Mishum Gezel applies uniformly to all the substances, to Tevin, Kash, and Golol. The Gemara asks, Vaha lo katoni hachi. But we have another Tanaic source where it doesn't teach thusly. Rather, a distinction is made between Tevin Kash versus Golol. Disnan, Hamotzi Tivna V'Kash L'Shusarabim L'Zvolim. Someone who cast out his hay and straw into a public domain for fertilizer purposes. V'Huzak Bohen Acher, and someone got hurt on it. Chayav B'Nizko. Compensation must be made. Anyone who picks it up can keep it. Umuter mishum gezel. Now, here we're with our markings, we're trying to emphasize key points. We have initially emphasized tivna v'kasho and muter mishum gezel. Notice the continuation. Here we have golol featured, and it says there is a prohibition of taking it, which would be a violation of theft. So, unlike that which we had answered just before we read this source, where the Asur Mishum Gezel in the Mishnah was, in the Tanaic source featured above, I should say, was Asur Mishum Gezel applies uniformly to Tevin, Kash, and Golol. In this Tanaic source, you see that's not true. Therefore, we come up with approach number two. We have to defend Rav, who said, "Konsu gufon mishum shvachan," that one is. Just to clarify the last point, what we have to do right now is Rav said konsu gufon mishum shvachan, that we in effect allow passersby to take the initial substance and not just after it decomposed. And we saw up till now that taking of the initial substance is not allowed. And that question was all based on the example of Golol, where no reference was made to Kol HaKedem Zocha. Now, Rav Nachman offers a new approach. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Golol Koramis. Are you trying to raise an objection to Rav from the case of Golol? We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above, where we introduce the problem of Golol to Rav. There's no problem. Dover sheyesh bo shevach konsu gufon mishum shvacho, something that has the potential of improvement in the public. It's regarding that that Rav said you can take the initial substance even before it decomposes. Dover she'ein bo shevach, something like golo, like feces, that doesn't have an ultimate, a future improvement. It's already reached its maximum state of usefulness. Lo konsu. There, we don't impose a knas on the owner of the golo. And in such a case, Rav would acknowledge that you are not allowed. We would not say regarding that, kol ha'kodem zocha, that you're allowed to take it. Ibaya laho. L'divrei ha'oimer konsu gufon mishum shvachan. According to Rav's approach, that we impose a loss from on gufon in anticipation of shvachan, la'alter kansinon or l'chi ma'isi shvacha kansinon. Is this a permission granted to the public immediately, as soon as the item is tossed out, you as a passerby can scoop it up and take it for yourself? Or only once it produces improvement. The Gemara answers, Toshma midako irinon golol, from the fact that we initially raised golol as a question to Rav, and golol figured in our discussion, that's a sign that Rav allows taking something immediately. Fetispara, the Gemara responds to this conclusion and says, "You must explain yourself. This isn't clear at all." Ki Irina Golo, the citation, the speaking of Golo initially above Mikami Delishni Rav Nachman. This was before Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok explained that Golo doesn't really figure in our discussion. The Bosser Deshoni Ba Deshoni Rav Nachman Mi Iko Lemirmo Golo Klal. After Rav Nachman elucidated that Golo is not an example of something that Rav ever spoke about to begin with, because of Golo's not having any future improvement in the public. It's as we said, it's animal feces that are already useful as fertilizer. So Rav didn't speak about that at all, and therefore you cannot use Golo as a means of concluding that Rav would necessarily allow picking up the substance immediately as soon as it was thrown out. Rav, as we said earlier, was referring only to items that experience improvement, and regarding that, we raised our question. We don't have an answer to that question in any direct fashion, but as far as the Gemara is concerned, you can't resolve the question from citing the case of Golo. As you go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a diamond marking, and you can see on the side under the Mivneh, the structural note, these are Nisyonos, attempts, Lahamid Machloikis Ravu Ziri, Shecholkin Be'inyan Konsu Shogeg, Konsu Gufon, Otushvachon, Kemachloikis Tanoyim. The Amoraic disagreement between Rav and Ziri is attempted to be shown as a machlokas tanoim. What happens though structurally is, and you can see this by navigating with the markings, we have a long question, shall we say that this is a machlokas tanoim? And then you'll see a response, not so, that their respective shitas are not each one aligning with one tana. The Gemara will do this once again, say lemo kehani tanoi, and the Gemara will point out not necessarily. When we speak about lemo ketanoi, it means we have two amoroyim, and one amora will match one tana, the other amora will match the other tana. When we dispel or respond or reject this suggestion, we are in effect claiming that each Amora will claim that both Tanoim will agree with his position. Now the Gemara. Leimo ketanoi. Shall we say that the machlokas between Rav and Ziri parallels the following earlier machlokas Tanayim? Shtar shekosuv bo ribis, a loan document. Person extends a loan to his friend and writes into the loan document that that the borrower has to pay interest. Now, I'm sure everyone knows that interest is strictly forbidden in Jewish law for one Jew to collect from a fellow Jew interest on his extended loan. Nevertheless, an improper shtar, an improper loan document was prepared with a riblet, with a ribis, which is interest, obligation. We impose a fine, a loss on the malveh, on the one who extended the loan, that he's not entitled to collect not only the interest, but the keren, the principal, as well. Total loss. The chachomim, the rabbis who disagree with Rabbi Meir, say that one is entitled to collect the principal value of the loan, but not the interest. Well, with this in mind, Lema Rav Diomak Rabbi Meir, Uziri Diomak Rabbanan, should we say that Rav, who imposed a fine on the goof and the shevach, on the initial substance, even before it, we'll say the principal substance, and the substance after it improved, parallels Rabbi Meir, who said that you lose out not only the interest, but the principal as well. And Ziri, who did not say thusly, who says that the initial substance one cannot take, he would parallel the Rabbanan, who said that only the interest is going to be the loss to the lender, not the principal. And now we say not so. Rav is not only like Rabbi Meir and Ziri, limited to the Rabbanan. Omar Loch Rav. Rav will tell you, Anodi Amri Afilu LeRabbanan. I hold my opinion concerning the issue of the refuse thrown into the public, even according to the Rabbanan, Rav says, I who say that the owner loses even his initial substance, refuse substance thrown out into the public, I can agree with the Rabbanan. I say my opinion even within the Rabbanan, who say that the one who extended the loan does collect the principal. He doesn't lose the principal. Ad kan lo kam Rabbanan hasam elo keren. The Rabbanan who entitled the lender to collect his principal, that is only because the behetera, the collection of the principal alone, involves no sin. Aval hocha, but in the case of the refuse thrown out, keren gufa komazik, the initial substance is something, it itself will cause damage. Uziiri Omar, ano di amri afilu l'Rabbi Meir. I, who said that in the case of the garbage, the public is not entitled to take the initial substance, I conform to Rabbi Meir in the case of the loan that says that the lender loses his initial initial loan principal as well. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Meir hasam. Rabbi Meir spoke there in the case of the loan where the lender loses everything. El demishas ksiva di ovad le suma. The word suma is a word taken is based on the Torah verse, which says lo sasimun alav neshech. One shall not place upon suma. Is like lasim, some place upon. You shall not place upon someone an interest, an obligation to pay interest. There, Ziri tells us, Rabbi Meir says, the lender loses even the principal because when he drew up the initial loan, there was already a problem. In drawing up the initial loan, he already imposed an interest obligation on the borrower. Avalacha, mi yemar demazik, but in the case of refuse thrown out into the public, who says that damage will definitely result? Therefore, there's no basis for knas on the goof. Lema kehani tanoi. Shall we say that the Machlokas Rav and Ziri parallel the following new Machlokas Tanayim. I say new because we already saw one Machlokas Tanayim. Here we have another presentation of a Machlokas Tanayim. Don't make any mistake. The Tanayim precede historically Rav and Ziri. So the question is, and we have a long question mark, shall we say that Rav and Ziri parallel the following Machlokas Tanayim? Hamotzi Tivno V'Kasha Lushus Rabim Lizvolim V'Huzak Ben Acher. By the way, this Tanaic source should be familiar to us. Much of it is found in our Mishnah. However, you'll see more information in this source than we saw specifically in the Mishnah. Nevertheless, we continue with the source. One who was motzi tivna v'kashu to the public thoroughfare for refuse, for converting into a zevel fertilizer. V'huzak ben acher, and someone got hurt on it. Chayav benizko, you have to compensate for damage. V'chol akirin bohem zocha v'asur mishum gezel. Anyone who comes and takes it can keep it, and there's a prohibition of theft. This expression is not clear, because on the one hand you say anyone who comes and takes it can keep it, and then you say it's forbidden because of theft. The Gemara will relate to this problem later. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, kol mekatlu mishus harav aziku chayovim l'shalem, anything that causes ruination of a public thoroughfare and thereby causes damage, compensation must be made. The cholakelin bohem zocha, anyone who picks them up, keeps them for himself, has the privilege of keeping it, umutoran mishum gezel, and there's no problem of theft. Ha gufa kashya. Now here the Gemara relates to the problem that we raised just two lines above. You said on the one hand, kolakelin bohem zocha, anyone who takes these substances thrown into the public has the right to keep it. Father Komar Asur Mishum Gezel, and then you tell me, well, it's forbidden because of theft. El Olav Hochi Koma. Rather, we have to re-understand things, reread it or re-understand it as follows. The Cholakinim Bohem Zocha, anyone who picks up those substances can keep it. B'shvochan. That's assuming it has become improved, it's decomposed and become fertilizer quality. V'asurin mishum gezel agufan, and prohibited because of theft. That's on it. That is if you take it in its initial stage, the goof, and that is very much like ziri. V'asur shimon leo lemeimar afilu gufan nami. Rav Shimon leo comes along and says, even regarding the goof, the original state, you call akilim bohem zocha. You can take it and keep it for yourself. That sounds like Rav. So it would then be that Ziri parallels only Rav Shimon Liel, and Rav, I should say, Ziri parallels only the Tanakama, and Rav parallels only Rav Shimon Liel. So then it would be that the Machlokas Hamoraim is in fact a Machlokas Tanoim. The Gemara responds, L'Ziri Vadai Tanoi Hi. According to Ziri, that prohibited taking the initial substance, the principal substance, he would figure only according to the Tana Kama. So that means Ziri is a Machlokas Tanoim. Ziri's a position figures only like one, not like all the Tanoim. Le Rav mi lema Tanoihi. According to Rav, that says you're allowed to take even the goof, the initial substance. Should we say that he conforms only to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? Omar loch Rav, de kuli almo, konsu gufon mishum shvachan. Rav will tell us that all agree, even the Tanakama agrees, technically you're allowed to take the principal stuff before it decomposed. And so then what's their machlokis? V'hocho, v'halocha vein morin ken komiflikin. Here, the machlokis tanoyim regards a certain approach to law, approach to legal rulings. And it's halacha that there are laws that exist, technically speaking, on the books, but we will not promulgate it. We will not rule, we will not publicize it in an initial fashion. We'll accept it post facto, but we won't, if someone comes to consult with us, we would not rule thusly. That is the machlokas tanoim. According to the Tanakhama, this business of taking the initial stuff before it decomposes and turns into fertilizer, we will not rule in a public fashion, or someone who comes to consult with us, we would say, listen, don't take it. But if you took it, so, okay, you're not in violation of theft. Rav Shmuel says, we would even rule initially, you can take the principal substance even before it improved. De Itmar, and here we have a machlokas amoroyim on this very topic. So that what appears as a machlokas tanoim continued another continued generations later. Rav Huna Omar halacha v'ein morin kain. Rav Ada bar Ava Omar halacha u'morin kain. Now we focus on Rav Huna with a question. Rav Huna said was quoted Rav saying, "Yeah, you can take it, but we wouldn't rule thusly initially." As a first choice, v'har Rav Huna afkir chushli, we find Rav Huna declared unowned someone's chushli. He had thrown chushli into the public. What are chushli? These are peeled barley that someone piled up in a public domain so that they would dry out. And Rav Huna, as a legal authority, ruled it. You unowned. You don't own it anymore. And by doing thusly, he was ruling that anyone who comes along can take it and keep it. So that's not a case of Ein Morin Kain. Rather, Morin Kain. We rule, Rav Huna rules, you can take it. Ravado bar Avov, Afker, Sli. We continue at the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, Slikusta. And Ravado ruled similarly with the case of Slikusta. Rashi describes this by saying it's the residue of dates after a beer was made from the dates. Bishlamo Ravada Barava Kishmaite. Ravada is behaving and he's acting according to his own legal ruling. He said Halachu Morin Kain, that we will rule you can take material thrown out into the public as a first choice. Elo Rav Huna lema hadarbe, but regarding Rav Huna, should we say he reversed his opinion? That you halachu morin kain? The Gemara says no. Hano musrin havu. Be careful with this word musrin. Musrin from the word hasra, warned. Here we're dealing with people that owned substance that were warned not to throw it out into the public, and time and time again they did not heed our warnings, and it reached the point where, okay, if you're not listening to us, we're just going to declare it unowned. And that was the basis of this ruling of Rav Huna Omar Rav, but in general he would say halacha v'ein morin kain, with that, we complete our sugya. However, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.